Good morning to everyone. Howdy. How is your Easter week going? Well, we have to stretch this celebration of Easter Sunday to 1 week, 8 days, including Easter Sunday and ending on the Divine Mercy Sunday, second Sunday of Easter. And the church makes us read today in the gospel, the continuation of the reception of Jesus' resurrection. Here we read about Mary of Magdala, or Mary Magdalene, who stayed outside near the tomb weeping. Picture that very well. I mean, this is not a very strange picture because, well, in our country, I imagine elsewhere as well, in our country, we may have tears being shed by relatives, especially those closest to the deceased. Especially when the death or the departure was very sudden and very tragic or very violent. And tears flow, not from just one person, but from several persons. And Mary was so close to our Lord, so appreciative, so grateful for His forgiveness and mercy. She was a prostitute, you remember. And she was possessed by 7 demons. Her soul must have been so valuable to the devil that 7 of them had to come to take charge of this territory, so to speak, this this real estate, if you want, this property that God had died for, Jesus had died for, but these devils had claimed it. This happens when we capitulate to the devil, especially when we commit mortal sin. They say that mortal sin is the first degree of possession by the devil. And there is so much truth to that. That's why it's most important to go to confession immediately to get ourselves cleansed. And, well, there's so many stories about this exorcisms and possessions. We will have to take that up another time. And we continue reading and contemplating this scene. Then, while still weeping, she stooped to look inside and saw 2 angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been. One at the head, the other at the feet. That she was familiar with the arrangement inside the tomb because she was part of the entourage of Jesus from Calvary to bring his dead body to be buried. They said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Imagine that, for the angel to be seen, to be detected by Mary of Magdala. Those angels had to assume some form, most probably not like the walking dead, for sure, because that would scare Mary away. They must have had some good aspect, good countenance, perhaps nothing so special, but nothing scary or creepy, that this woman was not shocked or she did not run away for fear. And she just told them, "They have taken my Lord away." And she replied, "And I don't know where they have put him." This reminds me of Our Lady, as she was looking for the child Jesus in the temple, right? He had been lost for 3 days. And she must have been weeping as well. Her husband Joseph, too. And here we have this special woman, who, well, she explained why she was crying. Because something she held so precious, even if it was just the corpse of the loved one, she could not find him. She could not find the body. She did not know where he was placed. Stolen or kidnapped, or I don't know if that's what you say when you steal a body. As she shed, as
As she said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not recognize him. This is to be expected. She was in tears, you know. Her vision was not that clear. And she must have been tired also. She had gotten out of bed so early in the morning. Well, just after the Sabbath had lifted, and she and together with other holy women could go and anoint and finish their business with the corpse of Jesus. And she must have been tired, very tired, and she could not recognize Jesus. Or even Jesus may have had her eyes not so clear so that she would not recognize him. And, you know, this is something that makes this resurrection story so credible. Because it's what you'd expect, right? No one expected our Lord to have resurrected. No one. Although our Lord had talked about it several times. But that was as a category of being resurrected from the dead. It's unthinkable. It's way beyond this world. And Mary continued asking, was there? And Jesus stood there and he said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" The same question. This is very nice, you know, because in our lives, in our daily life, we have to be asked and we have to ask ourselves, what or why are you weeping? What's troubling you? What is troubling me? It is so crucial to identify it. But in Mary's case, she was looking for the missing body of Jesus. That's great. That's fine. In fact, that's the goal we all have to emulate and to strive for by the help of God's grace. Where is Jesus? We have to ask. Where is Jesus in this issue, in this altercation between me and my subordinate? Where is Jesus, you know, in this problem of having no money or not enough money to get some medicines? Or whatever is tragic to you or difficult, where is Jesus? This question, we should be asking, because if that is really what we are looking for, Jesus in the middle of the world. Remember, the other name of Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is here with us, closer to us and to any other being in the universe, because he is the one who creates them and keeps them in existence. Every instant, they exist. It's by God's green light that they do. The problem is we are so blinded, we are so rooted in material things or our selfishness that we forget. At best, we forget. At worst, we commit a mortal sin. We are committing a mortal sin. And thus, the Lord really is kicked out of our souls. We don't know where he is. Suffering is not exactly the time when you would have to suspect the departure of God. I mean, Mary could have asked the same question, you know, or anybody there. Where is God here? On Calvary's hill, at the summit of Calvary. Where is God? Daniel screamed that he wanted no part of this farce of a death sentence on Susanna, who was totally innocent, except for these two wise men, older men, who accused her of adultery. Well, God came to the rescue of Susanna because she was innocent. But here we have a very innocent person. In fact, the Son of God, and they were murdering him. They were torturing him. They were killing him. Where is God? Well, and I learned in my experience in the spiritual life, well, God is there. There. God is hanging on the cross, suffering with you, suffering with us. He does not disdain suffering. You know, I mean, no one in his right mind would like to have to suffer, right? But we have to mature ourselves to grapple with this reality, the truth that in this life, we have to suffer inevitably. We cannot avoid it because that's the nature of this life. It is fraught with, it is filled with opportunities or instances of suffering, difficulty, shame, hurt, you name it. Therefore, we need to learn to face it. We need to learn to handle it, to go with it, to dance with it, and to benefit from it. I mean, our Lord faced the divine will to die on the cross, because there was a lot of good that will come out of it. And that was so. Our Lord was saving us from sin. So let's clarify what happens to us, especially when we're like Mary here is under trial. I mean, she's under pressure. Where is Jesus? Because of her love for him. So we have to ask, why are we crying? Why are we like this? What are we doing? What is happening? Then we get clarified. Oh, I was very concerned about myself, my hurt, my vanity, my selfishness, my envy. And then we'll find out the culprit and we'll know what to do about it. And if it's something that we cannot control, it's something that just happened, and then, well, it's not our fault. But we can also realize that and deal with it maturely. I mean, we have to accept it, offer it to God, swallow our pride, and go on. Not to stop, not to just to get discouraged or to give in to this self-pity. You have to go on. As Jesus went on, and he died on the cross, I doubt whether we would have to die for because of something. But all the same, you have to imitate him. So there you have it for Easter Tuesday. And let's look for our Lord in all the things we do. Thank you for listening, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain forever. Amen. Ciao!